A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, you're about to get smarter in just a few minutes with Curiosity Daily from Discovery. Time flies when you're learning super cool stuff. I'm Nate.
And I'm Callie. If you're dropping in for the first time, welcome to Curiosity, where we aim to blow your mind by helping you to grow your mind. If you're a loyal listener, welcome back.
Today, you'll learn about a new study shedding light on what species are most vulnerable to extinction from climate change, why species of living fossils take their time evolving, and a new theory about how the asteroid that killed the dinosaurs also impacted birds.
Let's jump into it.
We celebrated Earth Day earlier this week, so it seems fitting that we're talking about the mass extinction event we're likely facing. I'm not trying to be all doom and gloom, but it is important to look reality in the face so we can try and have some positive impact.
Yeah, you got me nervous now.
Well, stick with me on this one. By some estimates, nearly 3/4 of all life on the planet is at risk of going extinct. But here's the thing. This isn't the first mass extinction event.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously don't see all that many dinosaurs walking around these days.
Exactly. So a mass extinction event is typically described as a period of time when dramatically more species go extinct than would usually go extinct. By some measures, that would mean 75% of species over the course of a couple million years.
And this one is happening faster than that, though, right?
Those 3/4 of all life on the planet that are at risk, they could be gone in the next 300 years or so. So yeah, it's happening at a rate never before seen on the planet. And that raises some huge questions, as you can imagine. But among the most important that a new study is attempting to answer, which species are the most at risk?
So like the vaquita and the Sea of Cortez or the white rhino, for example. But like, can we talk about the vaquita for a minute? Because, oh my gosh, it's so cute.
It's so cute. Such a cute little... For anyone who doesn't know, the vaquita is like a toy, smaller Pokemon dolphin.
It's a Pokemon dolphin.
But there's so few left. They're almost gone. Anyway, this study actually goes way broader, and it looks at the types of species that are more susceptible to climate change-caused extinctions. The effort was led by the University of Oxford, where the research team analyzed the fossil record to identify factors that raise animals' risk.
Oh, I see. So the large mammals are a little easier to assess because we can see them and literally count them in the wild. But I would imagine other types of creatures aren't so easy to keep tabs on, like fish or burrowing creatures.
That's exactly right. And if we're indeed moving into this tumultuous era, we ought to know all we can about what's going on, right? So the team mined around 290,000 fossil records of marine invertebrates like sea urchins and shellfish, spanning some 485 million years.
That is a massive survey. But why marine invertebrates?
Great question. The short answer is that there's a huge fossil record of these guys. Lots of data.
I mean, 485 million years is a long stretch. And I would guess that studying such a massive amount of data would mean that you could sort of extrapolate certain findings and apply them to other varieties of living things.
Sure. So the team compiled data on traits that would typically affect extinction resilience, some of which hasn't been explored all that much in the past. Things like preferred temperature ranges and geographic range.
Sure. Yeah, makes sense. So what did they find?
Well, it's possible this study really confirmed a lot of what scientists expected. For example, species living in extreme climates, especially creatures with narrow thermal tolerances, were found to be at a higher risk of extinction due to climate shifts.
So these are species that live in places like the South Pole. The temperature is extreme and they don't really like it any other way.
Right. And along with that, they found that species that experience temperature shifts of 7 degrees Celsius or more were significantly more likely to face extinction.
Yeah, it's not a total surprise.
No, not at all. That's a huge temp swing. But the biggest factor in assessing risk came down to geographical range. The smaller the range, the higher the risk.
So if a species has been limited to a small area, it would have more trouble surviving climate shifts.
It makes total sense if you think about it. Climate change is and will be uneven globally. It will change in different ways in different places. If a species can inhabit a wide range of locations, it will see a buffer from highly localized changes in the climate. Basically, if the climate changes to something that a creature can't handle, well, that creature's ability to move somewhere else could save it.
Okay, so what do we do with this information?
Well, first, we prepare. This study and studies like it should serve as a trumpet call to understand and mitigate the effects of climate change on the world's biodiversity. But we have to know the specific impacts in order to affect any kind of change. Future research wants to get even more granular and look at how climate change interacts with other extinction drivers, like warming waters or habitat loss in general.
Earth Day is a time not only to draw our focus to our changing world and the challenges facing our global biome, it's also a time to think about the absolute beauty and wonder of all that's come before us. So while the last story was about predicting how species will or won't adapt in the future, for this one, I want to go back. Like way back. In the 1850s, Charles Darwin made a pretty incredible observation about gars.
Gar, isn't that a fish?
They are fish, yes, and they are pretty special. So there are seven different species of gar, and they are ray-finned with elongated jaws full of sharp teeth. And if they look like something that could have been lurking in the deep alongside ancient creatures from the ages of the dinosaurs, that's because they were. What Darwin noticed is that gars he observed swimming around, very much alive, were almost identical to fossilized gars from tens and potentially hundreds of millions of years ago.
Ah, right. I knew I remember the gar from somewhere. They're an example of a living fossil, right?
Exactly. Darwin first described living fossils in 1859 as organisms that showed very little change over millions of years, appearing almost identical to their ancient ancestors in the fossil record. But since that time, a question has lingered. Why don't these creatures evolve?
I've known about living fossils like this, but I guess I never thought about that question. I mean, everything evolves. Modern humans may resemble our ancient ancestors, but they're definitely noticeable differences.
Oh, there's tons. But this goes back even deeper. Consider two species that are linked by a common ancestor. Typically, the further back they branched off, the more genetically distant they are, and the more distant they are, the less they have in common and the less genetic interactions they can have.
I assume you're talking about mating.
Right. So take, for example, a giraffe and an okapi. They have a common ancestor, but you would never imagine them being able to produce offspring together, right?
Sure. That makes sense.
Okay, so they each branched off from their common ancestor anywhere from 8 million years ago to 25 million years ago by some estimates. And that's a lot of time to evolve. But get this, a couple species of gar are thought to have branched off some 100 million years ago, but they're still so genetically similar, they can produce viable and fertile offspring.
Wow. Okay, but how? Like, and why didn't they evolve?
Well, that's the focus of a new study. And the results offer clues not only to the mechanisms that lead to living fossils, but could have implications for the treatment of human diseases like cancer.
So it's genetic? It's not just some fluke of nature?
The study analyzed the genetic material from 471 jawed vertebrate species and found the slow evolution happened at a molecular level.
So what does that mean?
Well, the researchers believe the data suggests that gars possess an unusually efficient DNA repair mechanism that can prevent or repair what are called somatic mutations. So when most other creatures are born with a mutation or develop one during their lifetime, they tend to carry it with them and pass it along to the next generation.
Right. And if it's beneficial, then the other creatures around them eventually select for it and it just keeps going.
But gars, it's believed, have the ability to repair those mutations before they get passed along.
Okay, so instead of evolving, they just hit the reset button and stay the same.
And here's the thing. Those somatic mutations, those are the same kind of mutations that lead to cancer in humans.
No way. So we went from Charles Darwin in the 1850s back 100 million years to the branching of an ancient species into two species that barely evolved in the time in between, to a genetic quirk that could unlock the secret to curing cancer?
Well, we're not there yet. But understanding that these genetic time capsules aren't just too lazy to evolve opens the doors for new research on genes, genetics, evolution, and some potentially game-changing medical advancements.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So now we've talked about how some species won't be able to adapt to climate change in the future, and about how some species just haven't adapted almost at all for 100 million years. So now let's combine those two stories and talk about a mass extinction event and the animals that survived it.
Okay, way to bring it home for Earth Day.
Right? So 60 million years ago, scientists believe an asteroid impact in the Gulf of Mexico played a huge role in triggering a mass extinction event, wiping out about 3/4 of all species on Earth.
Including most of the dinosaurs.
Correct. But an interesting thing happened. Some of those dinosaurs that happened to be feathered made it out unscathed and would eventually evolve into the birds that we all know and love today.
Yes, and as I understand it, the mass extinction was like a catalyst that gave those feathered dinos an advantage and allowed them to thrive.
So that's been the common wisdom among paleontologists for a long time. But a new study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences is suggesting a totally different version of events.
So they didn't make it out alive?
No, they definitely did. The team analyzed the DNA of 124 bird species and found that it's likely that birds actually began diversifying tens of millions of years before the asteroid impact.
Wait, so if that was true, then the asteroid didn't have the impact they thought it did, or at least not on the evolution of birds.
That is what the researchers are suggesting. They say that the oldest split in the bird family tree created two lineages, one that led to modern ostriches and emus, and the other to all the other living birds. By sorting through the DNA mutations and incorporating fossil evidence, they've proposed that not only were they already evolving, but that the evolution was steady, continuous, and mostly unaffected by the asteroid impact.
Okay, so that all makes sense. But I just can't imagine that losing 75% of all species of living things on Earth wouldn't have an impact on the species that remained.
Interestingly enough, the researchers noted that this research could, let's say, ruffle a few feathers.
No.
Because of exactly that reason. Other scientists who have read the research argue that the lack of pre-asteroid impact fossils of major bird groups undermines the study's conclusions and say that the evidence we have still suggests a major post-impact diversification.
So there's still some debate.
Oh, absolutely. But as we've already spoken about, the science behind mass extinction is both difficult to study with the evidence we have on hand and also becoming increasingly urgent in the face of climate change upheavals that we are currently staring down. Let's recap what we learned today to wrap up. Species with limited thermal tolerances and smaller geographic ranges face the highest risk of extinction due to climate change.
Gars, ancient fish known as living fossils, possess the slowest rate of genetic evolution among vertebrates, a trait that could offer groundbreaking insights into DNA repair mechanisms that could lead to new cancer treatments.
A new study challenges the long-held belief that an asteroid impact 66 million years ago sparked a rapid evolution of birds, suggesting instead that our feathered friends began diversifying tens of millions of years before the cataclysm.
Curiosity Daily is produced by Wheelhouse DNA for Discovery.
You can follow our show wherever you get your podcasts, and we would love it if you could take a second to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.